On behalf of our beloved Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we sincerely welcome you to Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir on the most auspicious occasion of Sri Gaur Purnima, the blessed appearance day of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like to first welcome two distinguished guests who have unexpectedly appeared from Sri Vrindavan Dham, two of the principal disciples of Sri Ramesh Babaji Maharaj from Man Mandir in Barsana, and very old and dear friends of all of our devotees. They have brought Sri Brajbhumi with them through their kind blessings. Let us very sincerely welcome Panditji Maharaj and Narasingha Babaji Maharaj to Sri Radha Gopinatha. In just a couple hours, our very dear and generous-hearted godbrother Shamsundar Prabhu will be departing for the United States of America. We have requested him to speak on Srila Prabhupada, who so much embodied the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Hare Krishna. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane. Radhanath has asked me to speak something on Srila Prabhupada, my realizations of Srila Prabhupada as the embodiment or the reflection, the pure via media of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And from this long distance now of time, it's quite easy to see all of these things, just how merciful Srila Prabhupada was to all of us. The years have given us that perspective, that distance, so now we can judge and see what really happened, the incredible thing that happened. But if you go back in time, when we were all there with Srila Prabhupada, this is actually 39 years ago today that I had celebrated my first Gaur Purnima with Srila Prabhupada. That's nearly 40 years ago. So, and I remember I've tried to project myself back, my mind back in those days. What it was like and how we saw Srila Prabhupada and what kinds of interactions we had, how they were. And some of my godbrothers last night were mentioning how Srila Prabhupada came into a situation of jagais and madais, worse than jagais and madais. This was exactly the case. This neighborhood of tens of thousands of young people were the most fallen souls, I think, that have ever collected in one place. There was the spirit of the time was to enjoy your senses to the maximum. Whatever kinds of thrills and sensations you could subject your senses to, those were desirable. Talk about the four regulative principles. There was no such thing. We were all very heavy, heavy meat eaters. I mean, breakfast was always pork, you know, bacon, eggs, and beef steaks. Sorry, I should... I'm just trying to give a little contrast here. Okay, we'll skip over that part. Suffice it to say that we were very fallen souls. I don't think Jagai and Madai came close. And there were like 20 of us, 20 youth, I would say. Except for Jayananda, he was a little bit older. I have to check my notes here. And like they were saying last night, you know, Lord Chaitanya appeared, I mean, Srila Prabhupada appeared among us, and just like Lord Chaitanya, just seeing him transformed us. He didn't have to say anything or try to reason with us in any way. We just saw him, and we were transformed. Just like Lord Chaitanya, you read in the Charitamrita, that how wherever Lord Chaitanya went, people were transformed immediately without any reason. This is was Srila Prabhupada's effect on those 20 or 30 souls that gathered in those days. The neighborhoods were made up of tribal groups. People with similar interests would gather and form a tribe of one sort or another. There were the mountain people and the motorcycle people and you name it. The different types of groups were associated there. So we were the Krishna people. Our little tribe isolated itself out and became a little group, just like Chaitanya Charitamrita, a group of devotees focused around this incredible personality. We had no qualifications, absolutely none. You were saying last night that Prabhupada said that he made us qualified. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. He made us qualified to participate with him. He touched us in a way. We all had a preconception, sort of a preconception of what a spiritual master should be. We'd all been reading books about yoga and this and that. Our idea was that a spiritual master just touches you or he glances at you and you're transformed. So when Prabhupada did that with us, it was a natural. Oh, we just saw Prabhupada and we were transformed. There wasn't any long period of development for this to happen. It happened immediately. You can ask all the God brothers who were there, God sisters at the time. So Prabhupada made the utterly fantastic into the utterly real. He didn't have the props and things to show us. He had a simple set of books of Bhagavatams. And on the cover of the stream, I don't know if anyone's ever seen the cover of the old Srimad Bhagavatam, the original Srimad Bhagavatam that Prabhupada had, but it's covered with pictures of all the heavenly planets and the different lokas that make up the spiritual sky. And Radha and Krishna sitting in a lotus, and they're in their own planet. And Prabhupada explained to us that this is what the universe actually looks like. This is the spiritual universe that we can't see. And we immediately accepted it. Prabhupada said, this is what the spiritual sky looks like. Oh, okay.
Great.
Well, that's wonderful. We didn't need logic and explanations. And by his absolute authority, Srila Prabhupada would sit on his Vyasasan there in San Francisco and expound these this philosophy from a situation of absolute authority. He would quote Sanskrit and back up everything he said by this in this incredible language that we knew came from the ancients. So that gave it substance. His logic, he was the total, the consummate logician. He would be challenged every night by people sitting in the audience very strongly. They would say things like, how do you know that God exists? How do you know that God is a person? Those kinds of things. And Prabhupada would logically, using examples from everyday life, show how this must be. So that impressed us also. And by his example, he attracted and gave us Lord Chaitanya's mercy. We knew that he suffered terribly to come and bring us this knowledge. And yet he was never for a moment thinking in a small way about anything. Everything was huge in his estimation. This was his example. He would type letters to the president. He would say things like, yes, you are only 20 people now, but very soon we will cover the world with Krishna consciousness. So we accepted it. We didn't challenge this in Srila Prabhupada because we could see that he embodied the truth, that this was the truth. His obvious love for all of us individually was so apparent and so overwhelming. We had never experienced such love from another individual. Even our own parents never gave us this love. Not like this, in this intensity. He said, now I am your spiritual master, and I take all responsibility for you. What more security, what more happiness could there be in a young person's life? How could anything go wrong? With Srila Prabhupada, everything was always right. And of course, he didn't say much about Lord Chaitanya in the beginning. In fact, we all came from more or less a monotheistic background, thinking that God is one. So he only talked about Krishna. Krishna. We tried to imagine Krishna. We didn't have pictures. There was no books to describe him, no Krishna book, no. We didn't know about his leelas in Vrindavan or anything like that. He just said that this is God, and he's a personality, and this is how he dresses. These are the ornaments he wears. These are the kinds of activities he does. And as he described that, we began, all of our barriers broke down. We said, well, sure, well, yeah, why shouldn't God be beautiful? I mean, why couldn't he be bluish? It's unique color. Oh, wonderful. He should be ornamented with all the precious stones, yes. And Prabhupada described Bhagavan as the one, the personality with those six opulences in full. And that was easy to understand. That was easy to understand. Then we began to forge an idea of Krishna. You may have looked back and seen the old photographs in San Francisco. Our first idea of Krishna was this, the cowherd boy, Kartamani Krishna. That was our first figure. And Gopal Krishna, and little baby Krishna, and Krishna playing the flute by himself. This first Prabhupada got us used to this idea. Then he brought in Radharani. Whoa, this was hard to understand. If Krishna is the absolute creator of everything, why did he create this woman? So then Prabhupada began to explain. It took a long time for this to sink in. What is Radharani? What is Radharani? So once these two ideas began to become part of our lives, then Prabhupada started talking about Lord Chaitanya. And if you look back, looking back now, those days with Prabhupada when we started learning about Lord Chaitanya, if you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was the same mood, the same kind of devotional pals, devotional friendships were generated among us, all strangers 3 months before. We began to feel a kinship with this strong, incredible personality in our midst and exchange things amongst ourselves and with Srila Prabhupada that just separated us from the rest of the world, from the other tribes. All the things that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita you read about, like when Lord Chaitanya picked all the mangoes to feed his devotees. Well, Prabhupada did that, stuff like that for us too. He would cook a big feast and feed us. He was our general, in a way, in our little army. He was so strong. We were surrounded by a lot of chaos and a lot of adversity, I guess you could say. Next door were the Hells Angels, was their headquarters. Right next door, through the wall this thick, was the Hells Angels headquarters. And they caused some problems. Almost every day something would upset the kirtan or upset the Prabhupada's lecture, or the temple affairs, some strong incursion into our space. Prabhupada would jump up and just like a lion defend us in so many ways. He would verbally defend us. He made it well known that nobody should even try to attack him. He would deal with that if they even dared. He was so strong. And he danced with us, just like Lord Chaitanya danced with his associates. The first night that I ever saw Srila Prabhupada was at that Mantra Rock Festival in San Francisco at the Avalon Ballroom. He walked out on the stage well after midnight in this darkened theater, heavy rock and roll music, and they were all playing the Maha Mantra, all these rock and roll bands. And Prabhupada started dancing like this all over the stage. We couldn't believe it. He just transformed the whole. Thousands of young people all started dancing in the same way. It was so, with the strobe lights and everything. It was so wonderful. And thereafter, quite often during the kirtans, he would come down from his vyasasana and dance with us. Usually in the evenings. And of course, he didn't fall down and faint, or hairs didn't come up on his body like Lord Chaitanya. But, I mean, you could tell he was only just controlling himself to avoid that. We expected almost any moment to see Prabhupada fly away. He was so ecstatic. Sometimes, if he was leading kirtan, we would follow our verse, and then it became his time to lead again, and we would look, it would be silent. We would look up, and Prabhupada would just be lost, be gone, tears coming on from his eyes. So we saw in Srila Prabhupada that ecstasy is possible. Ecstasy is possible. Pure ecstasy is possible without any supplementary influence, just the holy name. That the ecstasy that Srila Prabhupada was exhibiting was not overt, but very subtle. And we wanted to learn that subtle, how to reach that ecstasy. We could see that Prabhupada was totally in another world of happiness, satisfaction. And he always told us every day, he says, you can do this too. You can be the same way. Your consciousness can be like mine. So gradually Prabhupada began to tell us about this golden, beautiful avatar, this person who appeared in Bengal in 1486, who left in 1534 at the age of 48. So this gave Lord Chaitanya a kind of historical basis, which unlocked a lot of doubts or thoughts in our heads. A lot of barriers were removed by suddenly coming to grips with a historical personality who lives in the modern times. I mean, this is when Shakespeare was writing his plays. This is when Goa was being opened up by the Portuguese and a window to the west was being forged into India. This is historical. So we could relate. And then the idea of parampara became a lot more real, that descending from Lord Chaitanya, you could name the teachers in our line coming right through Prabhupada, right to us. And so the great mystics and saints and the parampara from millions of years back in the past became accessible. And they became real to us. And we could see in this person sitting in our midst Lord Chaitanya's direct influence, not only his words and his directions, what we should be doing, but you could feel Lord Chaitanya's blessings and the blessings of all the saints in our line and their energy flowing through him. I remember the first Gornima festival. Gornima was not it was a new concept for us. We had no clue what is Gornima. Prabhupada appeared to us in January of 1967. And then in March, which is scarcely 3 months later, he announced one day that the next day that we will fast. That we will fast. Most people didn't even know what that word meant. No one had ever fasted. Oh, don't eat? We'll try. Okay, yeah, let's do it. And he had been working on some translation of and writings of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He had a manuscript, partial manuscript. So he said, I will give this to you, and someone will read this all day long in the temple. And you will sit all day in the temple and fast and listen to this teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So that was our first experience. That was the first Gornima celebration in the west coast of the United States, 1967. So along about mid-morning, maybe it was noontime, we got very, very restless. Everyone was pacing the floor, listening to somebody reading, but then we'd have kirtan, and then that became a little old. So we decided, well, Prabhupada lives up the street. By then he had an apartment a block up the street on Willard Street. We'll go up and let's get the mridangas and the kartals and go up and serenade Prabhupada outside of his window. Okay, that gave us an excuse to leave. And so we went up there and we were all chanting out on the street and the sidewalk in front of Prabhupada's apartment. He lived up on the second floor. And Gurudas tells the story that Upendra, who was his servant at the time, came to the window and he went, and we thought that meant go away. So we all packed up our drums, kind of sad, and we started back down the hill. And Upendra came running out and he said, no, he said, come in, Prabhupada wants to see you. In India, this means come here. So we went up to Sri Prabhupada's room and he was just beaming from ear to ear. And he said, today the Sankirtan movement has begun. And that was it. That was the first Sankirtan party. in the public streets of America. From then on, daily, he especially assigned Tamal Krishna to lead this party down into the streets of San Francisco, Market Street, Embarcadero, other streets. It was very, very difficult for us to attack that particular challenge, to go out in public and chant Hare Krishna. But this was the day. And then we had our breakfast drink. And the girls mixed it. Prabhupada gave instructions to the girls how to mix this drink, but it was very sour. It was awful. So he came down himself to the temple and he mixed it. He called for lots of black pepper. I remember there was black pepper in it and other things. And so Prabhupada mixed the various things into the drink and he served us. And then we had this huge feast that Prabhupada supervised. He was just like the ringmaster sitting in one corner of the temple telling the cooks coming in and out, how to do this, how to do that. And then he'd go back in the kitchen and stir the pots a little bit. And Prabhupada serving it just like Chaitanya Charitamrita. And jokes. We used to have these kind of food jokes with Srila Prabhupada that when I read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they remind me so much of those early days. We would joke to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you shouldn't eat so much. You know, that's going to make you fat. He would say, but this is Krishna Prasad. I can eat all I like. Or, Prabhupada, eat more. You should eat more. No, I'm a sannyasi. Sannyasis are only supposed to eat small. Like that. We're always kidding back and forth with Srila Prabhupada, especially around prasadam. Janaki, Jamuna's sister, had a very, very intimate relationship with Srila Prabhupada that way. She could chastise him just like a small boy, and he would bow his head and ask for forgiveness. So from that day on, the Gaur Purnima of 1967, our destiny became clear. Our purpose as a movement became very clear. That today the Sankirtan movement will spread and spread all over the world. That was our assignment. That became very clear. And throughout the years, as Sankirtan began to grow and move around the world in different cities, different countries, Srila Prabhupada was constantly getting reports back. Glorious things happened, but quite often he would get reports back of different obstacles that were confronting the Sankirtan parties in various places. Police resistance, neighbors, all kinds of problems. And every time he would get a report then that the devotees had overcome this obstacle, and he would give that example of the Kazi story. Yes, you see, no one can stop Sankirtan, just like the Kazi, and he would tell that story. So, and as Radhanath pointed out last night, that Srila Prabhupada, you can say that Srila Prabhupada saved, Lord Chaitanya saved spreading of the Sankirtan movement for Srila Prabhupada. That is a fact. And you may think it's a slow process, the spreading of the Sankirtan movement. It may seem like a very slow process. It's been 40 years now. But 40 years, if you put it in the context of, say, the spread of Christianity or the Muslim religion or Buddhism that took hundreds of years to spread, the Sankirtan movement is spreading like wildfire. It's going very fast. I just got back from Mayapur and I was so surprised because I hadn't been there for 2 years. 2 years ago, I knew about 1 out of every 10 people. 10 years before that, I knew 1 out of every 2 people. Then 2 years back, 1 out of every 5 or 10 people I knew. This year, I bet I didn't know 1 out of 100. The Sankirtan movement is spreading so fast. And was it Radhakrishna Das told me the other day, he just got back from Ujjain, and he said that 3,000 to 4,000 people are coming to class daily there. Isn't that marvelous how this is spreading? So in my short life, I've seen the first Sankirtan party and then what is happening today. And it's only an insignificant amount of time. But Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya have saved for us the very most perfect, wonderful mercy of all. They didn't have any mercy compared to what we've got. We've got the chance to see and make happen the globalization of the holy name. We can see in our lifetimes, perhaps, or in, maybe not in my lifetime, maybe in your lifetime or your children's lifetimes, the holy name emblazoned in the consciousness of the entire planet. It will happen. There's no doubt. So we've all received this special mercy through Srila Prabhupada to be the witnesses and the servants to these events, the globalization of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya's special mercy to the world is Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada has assigned us this task. Prabhupada wasn't so concerned about big buildings. What is the use of this temple, that temple? He wants us to spread Krishna, the holy name. As a very small token, and you should all probably be happy to know that at least in where I'm going now, I'm going to America to try to formulate a traveling. Due to your inspiration last year, when we had that wonderful Cross Maidan Festival, it was so successful and such a sweeping event that we want to try to create a traveling show like this, a big show, costing lots of money with lots of men and women working and lots of equipment, and travel all over the United States with this festival, try to awaken some Krishna consciousness and do some Sankirtan on a very attractive basis. So I'm saying good night to all of you tonight. Yeah. But I'll probably be back in October, if Krishna wills. And words can't express my gratitude and my love and my wishes and my hopes for all of you. We've passed through another moment of time, but I think it's been well spent together for the glorification of Srila Prabhupada. I'll see you in my dreams. Hari Bol.
Thank Shyamasundara Prabhu for that very appropriate description of Srila Prabhupada's role as a perfect embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. The holy name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Lord are self-manifesting. They are not produced of our own endeavor. That is the law. We may assume that our own efforts produce the holy name, but the holy name is non-different from the Lord and is self-manifesting. And yet, out of the Lord's inconceivable mercy, He condescends to appear on the mouths of even omnivorous persons who show the slightest inclination to chant. Whereas being unable to understand the inconceivable mercy of the Lord in appearing in the sound of His name, we take for granted that that holy name is produced by our own endeavors. Yet if we contemplate the matter, we find that there's no more inconceivable mercy of the Lord. Because in the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are so many strict rules and regulations regarding time, place, circumstance, purity, the utterance of the hymns. Whereas the holy name disregards all these considerations and appears whenever we have the slightest inclination to chant. And therefore we can understand that the mercy of the holy name is even more inconceivable than the mercy of the Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has offered us such a precious touchstone, and yet, as he cried out in his own words, Etadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi, Durdaiva Midusham, Ihajni Nanuragaha. O my Lord, you're so inconceivably merciful by appearing in the form of your holy name, yet I am so unfortunate. I have no attraction for it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared just over 500 years ago to give the first indications that life's ultimate goal could be readily and easily obtainable. There are two occasions when the Lord appeared in His original form within this day of Brahma. Sri Krishna Janmashtami in the Dwapar Yuga and Gaur Purnim in this Kali Yuga. And philosophically speaking, these 2 days are equal. But from the standpoint of the jivas and their potential achievement, the day that Krishna appeared in His golden form, richly endowed with the divine sentiments and mercy of Srimati Radharani, is greater because of the mercy inherent to that occasion. And Gaur Purnima is an essential supplement to Krishna's Braj Lila. Sri Krishna descended in this world to taste the sweet mellows of loving exchange and to propagate a path
the path of Raghunuga Bhakti. But Krishna did not really offer on a large scale the ability for the jivas to enter into his lila. And therefore, after disappearing from this world, Krishna began to reflect that for so long I have not offered the gift of pure devotional service to this world. And without pure devotional service, the existence of the world is simply useless. Therefore, I shall have to come again, bringing my associates with me. I will descend into this world to reveal pastimes which are amazing even in Vaikuntha. And still, simply obtaining a great treasure does not mean we will necessarily have the qualification to appreciate it. Just like a tiny ant, if you give him a little grain of sugar, he'll appreciate. But if you give to a tiny ant a large and precious gem, he will not be able to appreciate it. He simply does not have the qualification to understand what it is or what it's for. So having a similar lack of qualification, the world for so long did not understand or appreciate the event that transpired in 1486 when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared into this world. It was just like when you're in a darkened room and a bright light is turned on, you go temporarily blinded. But after some time, the vision of the world began to adjust, and people began to look at Lord Chaitanya's appearance and pastimes in this world on different levels. Some, seeing that the whole affair was very complex, didn't try very hard to figure it out. Whereas others considered that this was an especially wonderful event, because what kind of potency delivered Jagga and Madai? What kind of mercy cured the aggravated case of leprosy in Vasudev? What kind of potency created that transformation in the great impersonalist Prakasananda Saraswati and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? What kind of influence affected all the fauna and flora in Jharkhanda, making the trees and creepers bow down, reaching out to touch the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, crying tears of honey? What kind of attraction led Raghunath Das to forfeit a great fortune and a wife more beautiful than an angel to go to Vrindavan and live as a beggar? What inspired Rupan Sanatan to give up their posts as prime minister and finance minister of the emperor, with all the prestige and power and wealth that accompanied that position? The potency revealed in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are exceptional, even in terms of avatars. And yet, looking at it from a deeper perspective, what is the great significance in this past, in these pastimes, when you consider that the whole universe was delivered, in the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was the topic of one discussion with Haridas Thakur, when the Lord was inquiring from Haridas Thakur, feeling compassion for the condition of souls, how can they be delivered? He was asking Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur replied that, "My Lord, all the living entities in this world have already been delivered by the loud sound of your kirtan. Just as when Lord Ramachandra left this world, he took all the inhabitants of Ayodhya. And when Krishna appeared in this world, he delivered the entire universe." So Haridas Thakur told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that simply by your appearance in this world and inaugurating this Harinam Sankirtan, all the living entities have been delivered. Those who have the tongue to chant Hare Krishna have been delivered. And those trees and other immovable living entities who cannot chant, when they hear the chanting, it is as if there is an echo. But that's not really an echo. That is the kirtan of the non-moving living entities. All these things, although inconceivable, are possible by your grace. Haridas Thakur said, I know that when Vasudeva Dutta submitted his prayer, that I cannot bear to see the sufferings of all these conditioned souls in this world. So please, my Lord, please let me suffer their karma so that they can all be delivered. And Mahaprabhu told Vasudeva Dutta that because you're a pure devotee of Krishna, Krishna will fulfill your desire without you having to suffer the consequences. So, in light of the whole universe being delivered during the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can understand that the individual deliverance of such souls as Jagga and Madhai, Prakasananda Saraswati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, or what to speak of the deliverance of Rupan Sanatan from their government services, is not the full display of his Leela, but indications of events that are yet to be fulfilled, not during his manifest Leela, but for the duration of this Kali Yuga. Lord Gauranga gave indications of future eventualities yet to come. When thousands of Jagayas and Madhayas could be delivered of their karmic overload. When thousands of offenders like Gopal Chapala could be relieved of their offense. When many thousands of persons with great opulence would give it all up to live as beggars. When great thinkers, swollen with the egotism that usually accompanies academic achievement and philosophical mastery, would understand that their intellectual achievements are no better than the dung of a boar, and feeling irresistibly attracted to the mellows of Vrindavan, surrender at the lotus feet of Bhakti Devi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave indications of the potency of the holy name to give hope and encouragement for those of us living in the rest of the age. So when the Lord appears in his original feature as the avatari, all the avatars are contained within him, as we were discussing this morning. And when the Lord takes upon his, in his original feature, takes upon himself the task of preaching, there is no need for a separate Yuga avatar, because the function of the Yuga avatar is fulfilled and surpassed in his lila. So when the avatars, the Yuga avatars descend in this world, they give a process of Vaidhi Bhakti by which one can attain Vaikuntha. There are exceptions, as when Lord Ram awarded the sages of Dandakaranya the privilege of taking birth as gopis in a future lila. But generally, the Yuga Dharma given by the majestic Yuga avatars can award the destination of Vaikuntha, a higher achievement simply didn't, was, is not awarded by the Yuga avatars. But Prabodhananda Saraswati explains that the direction to prema as the ultimate goal of life, which is previously never conceived, the honey sweet nectar of the mellows of Vrindavan, which was previously not attainable, and the highest summit of devotional perfection, Srimati Radharani, who was previously not understood. All these gifts and so much more, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has offered to this world. Since the holy name of the Lord is especially involved in delivering the fallen and conditioned souls, one may question why in the other ages such very difficult processes of Yuga Dharma are preached. In the Satya Yuga, the process of self-realization is meditation, taking periods like 60,000 years. In the Treta Yuga, it is sacrifice. In the Dwapara Yuga, it is worship. In the Kali Yuga, there is no other means than the chanting of the holy name. But the chanting of the holy name pervades all the ages as the Taraka Brahmanam, the deliverer of the fallen souls. So we may wonder why in the most degraded age, the highest form of self-realization, which bestows pure love of God, is given as the Yuga Dharma. The Lord was contemplating, regarding his appearance in the Kali Yuga, that for a very strong, that for a very severe disease, a very strong remedy is required. So in the Kali Yuga, since the living entities are not inclined to follow religious principles, and they are especially condemned due to their nature of blaspheming the great souls, which is the first offense to the holy name, they have no other shelter or recourse than the holy name. So the Yuga avatars generally cannot bestow Krishna prema. They can bestow the kind of prema known in Vaikuntha. And that Vaikuntha is like generally in a kingdom the highest achievement for any of the residents would be to be admitted into the court of the king. To actually be adopted by the king as one of his intimate family members is not within the possible achievement of most of the citizens of any kingdom. And yet, if the king so desired to extend his mercy and accept someone in his kingdom into his intimate family, that is his prerogative. So the kingdom, or the court of the king, is like Vaikuntha, whereas the innermost chambers of the king's family residence is like Goloka. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, he offers not prem in the spirit of majesty, but the utmost essence of prem, the love of the Brijabasis, and the loving devotion in pursuit of those most elevated devotees. After the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from this world, Prabodhananda Saraswati was lamenting that same city where you resided, Jagannath Puri, on the shore of the ocean, is still there, and the holy dham of Navadvip is still there, and many of the devotees are still present in this world. But where, oh where, is that festival of ecstatic love that was known during your manifest lila? Hey, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you're the ocean of compassion. Will you ever see your divine pastimes manifesting again? So we can see that not too long after the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his religion of universal love, rather than expanding, appeared to be headed for extinction, to such an extent that at the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with all his abilities and potencies, he could not even find a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So those who would conclude that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was headed toward extinction could not be said to have entirely faulty reasoning. And yet, if you consider Mahaprabhu's mission in terms of planting seeds, there are different stages in the growth of seeds. First, you gather them together and place them in the corner of the field, and then you broadcast them in the field. Then you harrow them in, and then you don't see the effects for some time. But in the course of time, after the rain, you see gradually little fructification here and there, and gradually, the whole field is covered with new growth. So Mahaprabhu gave indications of the effects of the holy name. And then, in course of time, the effects began manifesting in different places in this world. So when the Supreme Lord descends, having as his primary purpose relishing his own sweetness as well as Srimati Radharani's love for him, then the result of his preaching is not simply prema in the spirit of majesty, but the utmost essence, the predominantly amorous affection of the Brijabasis. That is the gift which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed upon this world. And therefore, when Srila Prabhupada came and the devotees were suggesting that his movement be called the International Society for God Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada said, no, it must be the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because Krishna means all attractive. And this world has heard so much about the glory and majesty of Godhead, but this world has not heard so much or known so much about the sweetness of Krishna. Krishna is a form of God who is more natural than supernatural, more lovable. The world has heard so much about the glory of God, but was needing to know about the sweetness of God. And that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed, and that Srila Prabhupada brought. So, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description of the Kali Yuga, which is a little different perspective than that given in the 12th canto. In the 12th canto, the Kali Yuga is described as an age when degradation and sinful activity arises to the point where finally Kalki just comes and destroys everyone. And Shukadeva Goswami explains in his descriptions of the Kali Yuga in the 12th canto that even though the living entities can become delivered simply by chanting of the holy name, very few will take up the chanting. Whereas Karabhajna Muni gives a different perspective in the 11th canto. He describes the same kind of degradation which will be characteristic of this age. But he says that there will be many devotees in this age. And the residents of the other ages, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, the residents of the higher planets will be praying to take birth in this age of Kali. And that is because of the gift which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is very rare, even in Vaikuntha. What to speak of the heavenly planets, what to speak of the other ages. And therefore this Kali Yuga, although the most condemned of all ages, has its one great redeeming quality. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti hekyo mahagunaha kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param vajat. And simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can achieve the supreme destination of Goloka Vrindavan. So when Mahaprabhu was present in this world, even those who avoided him even those who criticized him, who stayed a distance from him, were all delivered. What to speak of those who were favorable towards him, who served him, who surrendered unto him? They all became eligible for entrance into those sweet and holy groves of Vrindavan. And that is the destination which Srila Prabhupada has come to inform us and attract us to achieve. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana. The treasure of Golok, the sweet, intimate, loving exchanges between the Brijavasis and their Lord, is the gift which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to experience for himself and in so doing to share it with the world. And that is also the gift which Srila Prabhupada has come to offer us. So let us assist in his mission, by which we can attain the highest perfection of spiritual life, not obtainable in other ages, but only in the Kali Yuga. And of all the Kali Yugas, the one out of 1,000, when the Lord comes in his original feature, only once in a day of Brahma, 8.6 billion years, is this gift so readily and easily available. So where were we at that time 500 years ago to have missed such a golden opportunity, not to be achieved again for another 8.6 billion years? But Mahaprabhu personally delivered everyone in the universe during the time of his Leela, and he left a process by which anyone in the remainder of the Kali Yuga could attain that same supreme destination. The destination is the same, the price is a little bit different, because now our liberation is not guaranteed as it was during the time of this manifest Leela. There is a qualification required that we chant the holy name of the Lord, follow the regulative principles, and avoid the offenses. And if we do so sincerely, we can achieve the same benefit as living in the universe during the time of this manifest Leela 500 years ago. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maharaj. His Holiness Barsana Maharaj has spoken so eloquently on the unique treasure that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed to the world. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that there are many avatars who teach us the process of loving service to the Lord. The Lord, who is the supreme master of all living beings. But the sweetness, the intimacy of the love of Vrindavan, only Krishna himself can bestow that upon anyone. So therefore, once in a day of Brahma, when Lord Krishna personally descends from Krishna Loka along with his most intimate associates, Sri Radha, Lalita, Vishaka, Sri Dama, Subala, the Yamuna, Sri Govardhan, and the land of Braj. What great mercy. And when that same Krishna in his original form descends to taste the sweetness of Radharani's love, he gives that same realization of the most intimate perfection of love of God so freely, without discrimination of who is fit or who is unfit. Therefore, this age of Kali Yuga is most glorious. When we read the Srimad Bhagavatam about the symptoms of Kali, it is abominable. People of other ages could not even conceive of the barbaric, uncultured, sinful ways that are prominent in this age. It's simply unbelievable. It was rare when someone was demoniac in previous ages. But in Kali Yuga, even pious people are sinful. By proper calculations. Barsana Maharaj explained that in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Karabhajana Muni, he described how the Lord appears in every yuga and what the process of worshipping is. In Satya Yuga, the Lord appears in a beautiful white complexion with four arms. And he goes by many names such as Hamsa and Suparna. And he teaches the Yuga Dharma, austerity, meditation, going to a secluded place and learning to totally restrain one's mind and senses and fix one's consciousness on the form of the Lord within your heart. And if you do that without interruption for 60,000 years, you can attain love of God. In Treta Yuga, the Lord appears in a red form. And he teaches the process of yajna. He goes by names such as Vishnu and yajna. And he teaches the proper method of fire sacrifices and the chanting of mantras. But it's so difficult. One has to be so learned. Every mantra has to be precisely pronounced with the exact proper meter, and you have to be doing these yajnas without any mistake for thousands of years. And people could do it. If you were really serious, you would do it. And in Dwapara Yuga, Karabhajana Muni declares that the Lord appears in a form that is like a blue lotus. Most beautiful. And he is like a king. And he teaches to worship himself. Or for those who are not directly with him, to worship him in the temple. And such temple worship has to be done meticulously. In that Yuga avatar, he goes by names such as Vasudeva and Shankarshan. But in the Kali Yuga, all of these previous processes are for all practical purposes impossible for even the most elevated personalities. Because of such sinful deeds in the atmosphere, everyone's affected. People have short lives, short memories, very little control over their senses, what to speak of their mind. Therefore, Narada Muni quotes from Karabhajana Muni in his discussion with King Nimi. What is the glory of Kali? Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam Sango Pangarsha Parashanam Yagyai Sankirtana Priyaya Janti Hishumetisha. Those who have good intelligence in this age of Kali, they will worship the Supreme Lord who appears in a complexion that is not black. Now our acharyas explain this specifically can only mean Lord Chaitanya. Because in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Garga Muni, when he sees Krishna, he tells Nanda Maharaj that your son has appeared in different colors in different ages. He has appeared in a white form, a red form, a golden form, and now he is in a black form. So that means the Lord in the age of Kali comes in a golden form. And how is he worshipped? He's worshipped through the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And he continues to explain how Kali Yuga is the most fortunate time to be born. Because there's so much suffering. And the process of self-realization is so simple. As Maharaj was saying, the chanting of the holy name in every age will award love of God if you chant sincerely without offense. However, people were so highly qualified that they generally just didn't do it. They went for 60,000 years of meditation. Because they could do it. It was a challenge, and they did it. Most people became liberated. They attained love of God. In Treta Yuga, they did those yajnas. But in Kali, it's impossible. You see, in previous ages, people were very, very pious. And therefore, there was very little suffering. But in Kali Yuga, there's diseases, AIDS, hepatitis, cancer, heart disease. These didn't exist in any other age. Please understand, these are Kali Yuga diseases. Some of them didn't even exist 100 years ago within Kali Yuga. They're just getting more and more. And the more they find cures, the more worse ones come upon us. You can't solve sinful karma by any material arrangement. You have to suffer one way or another according to our sins. That is the laws of nature. If you cure one disease but you do those sins, you're just going to get something else. We cannot fight the laws of nature and win. So yes, Kali Yuga. There's starvation. There's wars. Practically every nation in the world at any time could be bombed. They used to call this place Bombay. Now it's Mumbai, but that doesn't protect us anymore. There's bombs pointed right here. 24 hours a day, and some madman just has to push a button. It's a reality. And there's little bombs in us. Some little cancer disease, or hepatitis disease, or heart disease, or tuberculosis disease. There's so much contamination. And the nature of the pollution. Driving cars, Prabhupada said, at breakneck speed.
People are getting intoxicated. Very little control over their anger and their temper. People are willing to fight over practically nothing. If you just look at a person the wrong way, they could kill you in Kali Yuga. It's a fact. I read a newspaper in America, somebody honked their horn to somebody who was behind, and you see in India it says blow horn. But if you take that culture to the West, beware. Somebody was in a traffic jam and just went, and the guy turned around and went, shot him dead. Yes? This happens regularly. People just have no control over their mind or senses anymore. Padam, padam, yadvi, padam, natesham is especially Kali Yuga. There is danger at every step. And there's so much anxiety. In previous yugas, nobody had economic anxieties. Everyone just lived peacefully. They had land, they had cows, they had their profession, it all came. But today, people are always in anxiety. Where will money come? How will I eat? How will I survive? And people are buying life insurance and health insurance. There was not a single insurance policy, see, in the history of the world until Kali Yuga. There was no need. This is an age of anxiety, an age of distress, an age of danger. It is an age of suffering. But as Maharaj explained, the greatest rishis, sages, and learned persons who know the Vedas, the most pious self-realized souls, they worship the age of Kali. They don't worship Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, or Dwapara Yuga. They only worship the Kali Yuga. Because the mercy of the Lord is the greatest by far in this age of Kali. Kaler dosanidera jan asti hekamahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga parambraje. In this ocean of faults of Kali Yuga, there is one benediction. Simply chanting the holy names, you can attain the supreme perfection of liberation. What a benediction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, param drivijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This congregational chanting of Krishna's names is the prime benediction for all humanity. Not just for the age of Kali, but for all time. But in order to get the real benefit of the holy name, you have to take shelter. And that is why Kali Yuga is so auspicious. Because as long as we are chanting God's name with the hope of material comforts and enjoyment, the name of the Lord will act very slowly. Any way you chant the name of the Lord, there will be some effect. Haridas Thakur quoted to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the Narasingha Purana about a Malecha who was getting killed by a boar, not Varaha, just a boar. And for the Malecha language, harama means abominable, because boars are abominable. He cried out, harama, 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 and died and got liberation. Because he chanted without any material motivation, the name of Rama. So any way anyone chants the names, they're going to get benefit. Srila Prabhupada told about his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There was two newspaper articles about the same event. One was very favorable, and one was very unfavorable. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati read both of them and said, this one is very good, this one is not so good. And the one that was very good, he said, was unfavorable. was criticizing devotees, and the one that was good was praising devotees. So what do you mean? He said, this one practically doesn't say the name Krishna, but this one, every line, the name of Krishna is there, so people who read this are going to read Krishna's name so many times, they're going to benefit. But that benefit is very small. It's very slow working. Only when we have a proper spiritual teacher and proper association do we learn what we should be striving for. Natanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaita kitvai. When we chant the holy names, not desiring money or the opposite sex or fame or prestige or even liberation, when we are chanting the holy names with a sincere desire for devotional service for the satisfaction of the Lord, and we're avoiding offenses, then the holy name works very quickly to purify our heart and illuminate our lives with praying. In this age of Kali, because there's so much suffering, and even if you're not suffering, you know it can come at any minute, it's the perfect climate to take shelter of the holy name. Not just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Not just some pious religious act. Not just to give me some peace of mind. Today there are many spiritual teachers who are trying to give you a little more peace of mind through yoga. A little better quality of life in this world through yoga. But the Srimad Bhagavatam rejects that. And as Kali Yuga progresses, that will be impossible to even get peace of mind. Therefore, people are going to chant the holy names because they are desperately seeking the shelter and the mercy of the Lord. Not just Hare Krishna, but
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
Therefore, the intelligent people of Satya Yuga pray to be born in Kali Yuga. And the sages and rishis worship Kali Yuga. Why? Specifically because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of Vrindavan, Krishna, appears with the love of Sri Radharani to give the ultimate gift, to give the gift of the gopis' love for Krishna to all of us through sincerely taking shelter of the holy names. That is the great gift of Lord Chaitanya. That is the great significance of Gaur Purnima. Srila Haridas Thakur, he approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas a question. Prasanna Maharaj was speaking on this. Actually, it's the topic he gave me to speak on, so I will speak something. Lord Chaitanya was in anxiety. He said to Haridas Thakur, this age of Kali, people are so sinful. The vast majority of the population are malicious. They're eating the flesh of cows. They've rejected the Vedic culture. They're against the teachings of Brahminical civilization. How to deliver them? And Haridas Thakur, he said, my Lord, don't be in anxiety. There's no reason to be in anxiety. Because you have descended to this material world with the holy name. And by your chanting the holy name, they will all be delivered. Now this is something very interesting. Krishna is Rasaraj. He's enjoying the highest rasas of love. He has nothing to do with this material world. He's enjoying in Krishna Loka, the spiritual world, eternally. He has his demigods doing all the work in this world. He's just enjoying. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Radha. Why is he in anxiety? It's not material anxiety. His anxiety is the manifestation of his love for us. Because the Supreme Lord Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has such very deep, intimate love for every living entity and does not want to see anyone suffer. He assumes this anxiety as a gesture of compassion. And Haridas Thakur, he's a real servant. He's a genuine servant of the Lord. Why? Because he wants the Lord to be happy and free from anxiety. Therefore, Haridas Thakur didn't mind getting beaten in 22 marketplaces as long as he could free the Lord from his anxiety by spreading the glories of the holy names. Because the Lord, when he comes to this world, he comes to show compassion to others, and a true devotee who lives in this world wants to assist the mission of the Lord. Everyone will be delivered because you are inducing them to chant the names of the Lord. But do you want to know how merciful Lord Chaitanya is? He said, maybe all moving living beings will be delivered. But I'm in great anxiety about the 9 moving living entities. What about the insects? And what about the trees and the plants? How will they chant? How will they be delivered, Haridas? How will they be promoted to the spiritual world? And Haridas Thakur said, my Lord, by your chanting the holy names, simply by the power of the holy name that you have chanted and that your devotees are chanting, the entire universe is delivered. Vasudev Dutt, he prayed to you, my Lord, my heart is breaking when I see the suffering of others. I cannot tolerate it. Offer me one benediction. I want nothing else. Let all the sins of every living entity in this entire universe fall on top of my head and let me suffer hellish conditions perpetually. But let them all go back home, back to Godhead, to your spiritual abode. You are independent and you can do anything. Please fulfill my prayer. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his limbs were shaking. He was crying. He couldn't even speak. He said, it is no surprise, Vasudev Dutt, that you are speaking this way because you are Prahlad Maharaj. But simply because of your pure and honest desire, this entire universe will be liberated. And it will instantly fill up with others. Haridas Thakur reminded the Lord, the whole universe is already liberated because you have chanted the holy names. And as soon as this move, everyone goes back to Godhead, it will fill up again with undeveloped living entities and nobody will even know what happened. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought in his heart that Haridas Thakur has understood my heart. He has understood my pastimes, which confirmed that at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone went back to Godhead. The whole universe was liberated and instantly filled up with people who have the karma to be here. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He performed his wonderful pastimes of delivering Jagai and Madhai. He delivered his pastime of delivering Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, Gopal Chapala, Gopal Chakravarti. All these people who were either impersonalists or sinful rogues and killers. Actually, they were liberated anyway. They were going to go back to Godhead anyway. But the Lord performed these pastimes to show the world for the rest of Kali Yuga that it's possible for everyone. This is the power of the holy name. This is the power of the association of Vaishnavas. This is the power of His grace. So how fortunate we are. The sufferings in this world are a benediction, spiritually. Krishna tells in Gita, do not be complacent, do not be lazy. In Kali Yuga, we have every good reason, if we just have a little bit of intelligence and sensitivity, what's happening around us, and what is the gift? So simple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the most complex concepts and made them so simple. You are eternal servant of Krishna. Just serve Krishna. Chant, dance, take prasad, and be happy. Parama karuna pahundui jana nitai gora chandra tava avatara sarasiromani kevala ananda kanda. These two lords, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, are supremely kind, supremely merciful. They are the essence of all avatars. They're giving the love of Vrindavan to everyone, the sweetest understanding of ecstatic relationship with God, freely. And they're giving a process that is simply joyful. The Ashtanga Yoga process can give us more peace of mind and healthy body and give us deeper intuition, but it's not a joyful process. Ask any of your children. But the path of Lord Chaitanya is so simple, so practical, so accessible to everyone. Shamsundar Prabhu was telling, hate Ashbury. Now, hate doesn't mean to hate. It's the name of a street. Some people think hate Ashbury means you're supposed to hate Ashbury. Who's Ashbury? But it's two streets, hate and Ashbury. It was the Mecca of degradation. Or the Jerusalem of degradation. It was a place where people were just going, seeking drugs, seeking sex, seeking all those things. God, unbelievable. Prabhupada went right there and just said, it's very easy. You want to realize God? Chant and dance. And soon he had hundreds, he had thousands of people. Prabhupada would raise his arms and dance with so much compassion that everyone raised their arms very high. And loudly chanted Krishna's holy name.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare.
So it is time for the Gaur Aarti. I have just received the news. I'm sorry I spoke too much. But I'd like to end our lecture on Gaur Purnima with one very important piece of information. All the Shastras and the Acharyas confirm what I am going to say. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Lord within everyone's heart. And wherever there is the promotion of His mission, wherever there is the sincere desire for pure bhakti, prema bhakti. And wherever devotees are gathered together to chant His name with this purpose and to spread this message, we should know without doubt that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and their whole parampara is personally present with us. And that is a fact. It is not that Lord Chaitanya simply came to this world in 1486 and left 48 years later. He performed his lila to attract our hearts. But those who become a little attracted and follow his teachings, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally there to protect you, to guide you, and to lift you up back home to Goloka Vrindavan. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan, that the holy name of Krishna descended from Goloka. Why? Because Radha and Krishna in the form of Mahaprabhu descended from Goloka and gave us the holy names. But if we want the real effect to the holy names, we must understand the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Charitamrita is all about intimate, loving relationships between Vaishnavas. Because that is what pleases the Lord. Now, in the age of Kali, which is a time of quarrel and hypocrisy, that is a difficult thing. To have a loving relationship with others in this age? There are so many reasons to suspect. There are so many reasons to fight. Even if there's no reason to fight, still we fight. That is the power of Kali. No reason to fight, but we fight. This is the austerity in the age of Kali. To follow these four regulative principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meeting. But there's another very important austerity in this age of Kali. To assume the role of a servant. If you are in the mood of a servant, then there can be intimacy. Because all fighting is due to false ego. All fighting is due to this desire to be the controller, to be the master, to be the enjoyer, to be the proprietor. But if we are in the mood of the servant, of the servant, of the servant, we can tolerate even people misunderstanding us and treat them with faith and love. We could serve them with respect, even people who step on our heads. That is what is required in the age of Kali. Trinadapi sunichena, tador ibasi hishnuna, amani namanadena kirtaniya sadahadi. Unless we're humble and tolerant and respectful and not expecting respect for oneself, you cannot maintain real relationships in this age of Kali. Therefore, this verse is all important. If we practice this verse, there can be congenial, loving relationships. Even in the Hare Krishna movement, so much fighting. So much battling over position, battling over misunderstandings, battling over something someone did or said 20 years ago. So many reasons. That means we're not surrendering to the Lord, we're surrendering to Kali. Surrendering to the Lord is not a matter of dress or changing your name. Surrendering to the Lord is a matter of the quality of our lives. Service to the Vaishnavas, compassion to the common people, however revolting or abominable they may be to us, we should treat them with respect and compassion because it is the Lord's wish. And we should create such a spiritual sangam of love and trust amongst each other. That is the austerity. And it is easy. Providing we simply keep Krishna in the center. So let us take this message in our heart of hearts in this Gaur Purnima. Because however much philosophy we learn, it's not going to work if we're fighting with Vaishnavas. It's not going to work if we're disregarding the sufferings of other. The holy name will manifest its complete potency when we please the Lord by our service attitude. That is what Lord Chaitanya taught us through his example and through his associates. And that is what Srila Prabhupada has so kindly come to give us. So on Gaur Purnima, let us really resolve within our hearts the great determination to understand the seriousness of the crisis in Kali Yuga, to be grateful for the gift of Lord Chaitanya's supreme mercy, and to reciprocate with that mercy by serving the Vaishnavas, by being compassionate toward the common people, and by sincerely taking shelter of our only hope, the holy names. And it is very, very symbolic tonight. We didn't know what was happening, but it happened anyway. Gaur Purnima, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descends to give what? To give the love of the Brijabasis. And on Gaur Purnima, just as the moon was rising, these two most exalted, glorious Brijabasis came to give us their loving blessings. And these are not the type of Brijabasis you see at Loy Bazaar, with all respect to them also. These are Brijabasis who are deeply rooted in that simple, honest desire to simply surrender their lives to Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So yes, it is very auspicious. They always come just at the right time. When His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj was in his last days in this world and he wanted to simply be absorbed in Vrindavan, the same two devotees, along with Madan Mohanji, they just appeared of everywhere in the world. From Man Mandir, in Chikshali, in Gabarvan, in Barsana, District Mathura of Uttar Pradesh in India. All of a sudden, I get a phone call. They're 20 minutes away from Gita Nagari. So I invited them, and they come, and they do Nam Sankirtan, and Panditji spoke, and Bhakti Tirtha Swami was weeping, weeping, weeping. He felt the blessing of Sri Radharani upon him. They just happened to come. And when Stoka Krishna Prabhu, the last day of his life, within a half hour before he left the world, all of a sudden, without any announcement, Madan Mohan and his son and Ramesh Chandra Goswami, these Brijabasis, same group, they just walk into Stoka Krishna Prabhu's room and give him prasad and chant kirtan, and then Stoka Krishna goes back to Godhead. And here it is, Gaur Purnima, where we've just heard from Kavi Chandra Swami Maharaj, Barsana Maharaj, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, all about Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming to give the love of the Brijabasis to all of us. And just as the moon is rising, the Brijabasis come to give us their love. Something about Radha Gopinath is very, very special. And Shishi Nitai Gaura Chandra. So the time is late, but please, we beg you, Panditji and Narsingha Babaji Maharaj, please give your auspicious blessings to all of us. And now we will have... We only have about 2-3 minutes because we have to have Archie. If you can just give...
सौभाग्य की बात है महाप्रभु जी के आविर्भाव के समय पर हम लोगों को यहां आने का सौभाग्य प्राप्त हुआ। आप लोगों में से बहुत कम ऐसे लोग होंगे जिन्होंने प्रभुपाद जी का लेक्चर फेस टू फेस सुना होगा। लगभग 31-32 साल पहले की बात है, वृंदावन में ये इस्कॉन मंदिर तब तक बना नहीं था, केवल थोड़ी सी टीन पड़ी हुई थी, टीन शेड, और उस समय मैंने प्रभुपाद जी का लगभग एक हफ्ता उनका लेक्चर मैंने सुना था। करीब 31 साल उन बातों को हो गए हैं। वो एक मूवी के द्वारा मोटर से कृष्ण पिक्चर दिखाया करते थे लोगों को, कृष्ण रस, कृष्ण चरित्र के प्रति आस्था हो ऐसा करने के लिए वैसा किया करते थे। दो बातों पर उनका विशेष जोर रहता था, एक नाम संकीर्तन और एक प्रसाद। वास्तव में श्री कृष्ण के रूप में ही समझो, महाप्रभु चैतन्य देव जी का प्रागट्य हुआ और उनके आदर्शों को भूतल पर लाने के लिए प्रभुपाद जी अवतरित हुए। उन्होंने जो निष्काम भाव से अपनी सत्ता को मिटा करके भगवान नाम के प्रति लोगों में जो रुचि उत्पन्न की, आज उसी का प्रभाव सब जगह देख रहे हैं। राधानाथ जी महाराज 1971 में, आज से समझिए 35 साल पहले बरसाना गए थे, फिर उसके बाद में 84 में गए और 88 में आपने हमारे साथ में ब्रिज 84 कोस की यात्रा की, जो हमारे पूज्य महाराज जी श्री रमेश बाबा के नाम से जो मान मंदिर में प्रसिद्ध हैं, उनके संरक्षण में 84 कोस की ब्रिज यात्रा प्रतिवर्ष जाती है। लगभग 6-7 हजार आदमी रहते हैं, निःशुल्क यात्रा है। भगवान नाम के ऊपर बात चल रही थी, भगवान नाम का ये चमत्कार है। हम लोगों के पास कोई बैंक बैलेंस नहीं, लेकिन इतना बड़ा कार्य उस नाम के प्रभाव से सहज में हो जाता है। यानी 2400 घंटे उस यात्रा में चलते फिरते भगवान नाम कीर्तन रहता है, उसका प्रभाव आप देखिए। आज हमारे यहां ब्रज में करीब 600 गांवों में प्रभात फेरियां चल रही हैं। हमारे यहां के साधु गांव गांव में जाकर के भगवान नाम कीर्तन करते हैं और इस तरह से वहां पर सैकड़ों लोग रोजाना प्रभात फेरी किया करते हैं। वास्तव में यह है नाम के प्रति निष्ठा। हम यदि नाम का आश्रय ले लें तो लौकिक और पारलौकिक सभी प्रकार के कार्य उससे पूरा हुआ करते हैं। महाप्रभु चैतन्य देव जी ने एक बड़ी सुंदर बात कही, कलयुग में इस भवसागर से पार होने का एक ही साधन है, वह है भगवान नाम। हरेर नाम हरेर नाम हरेर नाम केवलम नास्त्येव नास्त्येव कलौ गतिरन्यथा। इस कलयुग में भगवान नाम के अलावा और कोई ऐसा दूसरा साधन उपाय नहीं है जो मनुष्य को भवसागर से पार करने में सक्षम हो। भगवान नाम के साथ में हम जो भी कुछ कार्य करेंगे, वो कार्य ये समझिए भवसागर को पार करने वाला होगा। हम लोग जो भी कार्य करते हैं, अच्छा या बुरा, वो सभी कार्य का उसका अच्छे कार्य का अच्छा फल मिलता है, बुरे कार्य का बुरा फल मिलता है। ये जो कर्मों का फलम भोगते हैं, ये कर्म बंधन या कर्म भोग कहा जाता है। कर्म करने से कभी भी कर्म बंधन नष्ट नहीं हो सकता है, लेकिन कर्म करने की हम अगर टेक्निक बदल दें, विधि बदल दें, तो वो उसका फल बदल जाता है। जैसे एक औषधि को लेने की सेवन विधि बदल दी जाए तो उसका प्रभाव बदल जाता है। मान लीजिए किसी को खांसी है, जुखाम है, उसको नींबू का शरबत दे दिया जाए तो उसका जुखाम और खांसी और बढ़ जाएगा। अगर उसी नींबू की चाय बना के उसको दे दें काढ़ा बना करके, तो वही नींबू की चाय उसके लिए औषधि बन जाएगी। गर्म पानी में यदि शहद को मिला करके दिया जाए मोटापा कम कर देता है, यदि उसी शहद को दूध में मिला करके दिया जाए तो मोटापा बढ़ जाता है। कहने का भाव यह है, उसकी सेवन विधि हमने बदल दी तो उसका फल बदल गया। नारद जी कहते हैं, एतत् संसूचितम् ब्रह्मन् स्थापत्रय चिकित्सितम् यदीश्वरे भगवति कर्म ब्रह्मणि भावितम्। तीनों प्रकार के तापों से छुटकारा पाने का एक ही उपाय है, अगर भगवान को अर्पण बुद्धि से कर्म किया जाए तो उस कर्म के करने से कर्म बंधन नष्ट हो जाता है। ये अर्पण कैसे हो? भगवान को अर्पण बुद्धि से कर्म करें, उनका स्मरण करते हुए करें। शास्त्रों में ये अर्पण दो प्रकार का बताया गया है, वस्तु समर्पण और एक क्रिया समर्पण। वस्तु समर्पण से तात्पर्य है, सूरदास जी कहते हैं, एविद कहा घटेगो तेरो, नंद नदन कर अपनो ठाकुर आपन वेरे चेरो। अरे तुम्हारा इसमें घट क्या रहा है, केवल ये सोच लो हमारे मालिक हमारे स्वामी श्री कृष्ण हैं, हम उनके दास हैं, उनके सेवक हैं। इस भाव से लेकर के आप कर्म करेंगे तो ये वस्तु समर्पण होगा। क्रिया समर्पण में भगवान ने कहा है, यत करोषि यदश्नाशि यत जोहोषि यत तपस्यसि कौन्तेय, यत करोषि यदश्नाशि यत जोहोषि ददासि यत तपस्यसि कौन्तेय तत् कुरुष्व मदर्पणम्। तुम जो कुछ करते हो, यज्ञ कर रहे हो, कोई भी कर्म कर रहे हो, जो कुछ खाते पीते हो, दान पुण्य करते हो, तपस्या करते हो, बोले तत् कुरुष्व मदर्पणम्, मेरे लिए अर्पण बुद्धि से करो। अर्पण कैसे होगा? भगवान का नाम ले लो, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, इस प्रकार से अर्पण बुद्धि से यह कर्म हुआ। भगवान का स्मरण करने के बाद में इसका हम ये देखिए चमत्कार देख रहे हैं। आप लोगों के यहां से ये ब्रज में राधानाथ जी महाराज के निर्देशन में, विश्वरूप जी आदि के गाइडेंस में एक बरसाने में आई कैंप लगता है। कैंप बहुत से लगते हैं, लगा करते हैं, लेकिन उसमें एक विशेष बात रहती है जो किसी कैंप में नहीं है। वहां पर भगवान नाम की व्यवस्था रहती है, भगवान नाम सुनते रहते हैं, उससे वो कैंप भी एक यज्ञ का स्वरूप हो जाता है। और इतनी गुडविल बढ़ गई है, हमारे बरसाने में कुछ दिन पहले कैंप लगा था आप लोगों के आई कैंप से पहले, 50 व्यक्ति उसमें एडमिट हुए, लेकिन जब मालूम पड़ा ये बंबई वालों का कैंप नहीं है, एडमिट हुए बेड पे से उठ के चले आए। तो आप लोगों को अपनी इस गरिमा को बनाए रखने के लिए ब्रजवासियों को निराश नहीं करना चाहिए। पिछले बार 600 से ज्यादा ऑपरेशंस हुए, इस बार कम हुए हैं और कुछ ब्रजवासियों को खाली लौटना पड़ा। आप लोगों को इसके लिए प्रिपेयर्ड रहना चाहिए, जितनी ज्यादा सेवा हो सके हम पूरी तरह से सेवा करें। अरे भाई, भगवान नाम के साथ में उसका फल है सेवा, यदि सेवा नहीं हुई तो समझ लो हमारा फल अधूरा रहा। हम महाप्रभु जी के उस आदेश की अनुपालना नहीं कर पा रहे हैं। उन आदेश है तृणादपि सुनीचे न तरोरपि सुना, अमानना मान देया कीर्तनिया सदा हरि। अपने मान सम्मान को छोड़ करके हम ऐसे सेवा कार्य करें और प्रभु के प्यारे बने, ये चीजें हमारे जीवन में आ जाएंगी, हमारा जीवन धन्य हो जाएगा, इसमें कोई संदेह की बात नहीं है। कहना तो बहुत चाह रहे थे लेकिन पीछे से आवाज आ रही है, देर हो रही है, इसलिए हम यहीं पर बंद कर रहे हैं। जय श्री राधे।